Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TICFM and Light 100.5 WRCH. Erin Kupek with you this Sunday morning, and we are pleased to be joined by Lori Matthew. She is Public Health Branch Chief for the Environmental Health and Drinking Water Branch at the Connecticut Department of Public Health. Good morning to you, Lori.
Good morning, Erin, and thank you for inviting me.
We are talking water this morning. We saw water main breaks recently in Windham and Groton, which got us thinking about our water infrastructure and its age. So first, Lori, tell us about how things work in terms of drinking water in Connecticut and what your branch oversees.
There's a lot to that question. So my branch is the Branch of Environmental Health and Drinking Water. We have about 100 staff, many in the drinking water section in particular. Many of the drinking water section, which are about 50 professional staff, many of them are sanitary engineers. We have a group of environmental analysts as well as health program associates that make up about 50 people within the drinking water section within my branch. The section itself within the Department of Public Health, and just to mention that I do, our branch reports to a deputy commissioner, Heather Aaron, and Commissioner Deirdre Gifford of our Department of Public Health. So the drinking water section itself of 50 professionals, our engineers and environmental analysts are responsible for primacy of the Safe Drinking Water Act since 1976, as well as oversight and responsibility to implement and uphold a whole set of state laws that have been around since the early 1900s that deal with water quality and water quantity of public drinking water supplies statewide. And in our state, you might think, well, we're a small state, right? So how many public water systems do you really regulate? So how busy are you? Well, in our state, we are considered by EPA a medium-sized state, which is sort of odd if you think about it. Like, what do you mean? Well, there are 2,500 public water systems in our state, 2,500. A public water system is a system of pipes and a network with a source and with tanks and maybe some pumps that serves 25 or more people per day. And you say, well, how are there 2,500 of those? Well, in a small in small towns and say in the more rural parts of our state, which we have many small towns, you know, well over 100 towns have lower populations where you'll have a state road and you'll have maybe like a 7-Eleven and a Dunkin' Donuts and a church and a shopping plaza and a this and a that and a school and each one of them and a firehouse and a town hall, each one of them may be not interconnected. And because they're separated, they probably maybe grew up at different times or developed at different times. So they have their own well. And if you have your own well and you serve 25 or more people 60 days out of the year, then you are a regulated public water system. So that that gas station that serves water to the public because they serve coffee. That's a regulated public water system. Our engineers inspect and oversee the water quality that is pulled by the all of these systems. Majority of them have operators, certified operators that control these systems, especially if they have treatment. Many systems have treatment. They have chemical treatment, or they have reverse, you know, what they call RO, reverse osmosis systems, that we review and approve as well. So we have oversight of the quality and quantity. The water systems, along with their operators, are responsible to sample the systems and bring that to a state certified laboratory that we certify. And that information on water quality comes into our data system. We oversee electronically, we oversee that data system, and that data that comes in has to be compliant with the Safe Drinking Water Act. And that's known as primacy. So primacy is made up and is overseen by EPA. It's been around since the beginning of time with EPA in 1974. Under the Safe Drinking Water Act was the first act. And in 1976, our department was second in the country to get primacy. It means that we are responsible. Any rule that comes along under the federal government, we have to then take that rule, the federal law, and implement it within our state laws. There are 18 distinct rules under the Safe Drinking Water Act that have come along over the decades. And every rule that comes along gets more complicated, as you can imagine. So we have rules that oversee groundwater protection, groundwater quality, surface water quality, distribution, and all kinds of different things, and different contaminants. There's different requirements for different contaminants. There's different standards. There's maximum contaminant levels, known as MCLs, that we have to uphold. So there's a lot of information that's coming into our data systems that we have oversight of. We have to oversee compliance. We also oversee enforcement to make sure that the water systems do what they are supposed to do. We also oversee, we have an operator certification group that certifies over 2,500 public water system operators that operate our most complex treatment systems and treatment plants that are out there that serve the public. There are 36 surface water treatment plants in our state. Of those, you have, you know, a classification system of operators. There's what they call class four operators that operate the most complicated treatment systems that we have. And those 36 systems are those. Many of those people are not aware of. They have no idea where their water comes from or what it takes to get that water into their pipes, into their homes. But there is a whole network of people behind the scenes, and it includes my team and our team within the health department that is overseeing quality, quantity, and overseeing the regulatory oversight. There's many layers of protection for our drinking water supplies. It includes making sure we have operators that are well-skilled, that are very professional, that uphold the requirements, to my staff that are well-skilled, our engineers. We also go out and inspect systems, large systems every 3 years, smaller systems every 5. But these staff are engineers. Many are decades with our department that have the skills and knowledge and abilities to be able to understand all those 17 or 18 rules under the Safe Drinking Water Act, understand the engineering and the requirements under state and federal law, and then go out and inspect those water systems to make sure that the systems are compliant. If they're not, we issue a report. We work with the system to become compliant. If the systems don't want to work with us, there's not many of them, but there are some, we work on enforcement. And that's essentially, in a nutshell, what we do and how we do it.
The pipes in the ground. If you were to go to some of the most mature parts of Connecticut, how old might some of those pipes be, and what would they be made of?
So the history of water development in the state of Connecticut is quite intriguing. So some of our systems were developed before the Civil War. And I'm not saying that some of those pipes are still in the ground, but it's possible. Recently, I think in one of our larger municipal systems, they dug up a wooden pipe. Yes, I said wood. you know, some of these systems are quite old. Again, before the Civil War, I believe Middletown is one of our older systems developed before the Civil War. And the decade of the 1840s comes to mind when I think about Middletown. The city, you know, I say that the city systems such as Bridgeport, Waterbury, New Britain, Hartford, Norwich, Groton, New London, all developed around the same time when there was a need for the industrial, you know, the Industrial Revolution, where a lot of industries moving into Connecticut, the need for water for industry, the need for water for firefighting, the need for water for the people that were moving into these areas, and these were getting developed. So there's a lot of systems that were built just after the Civil War. And so there are pipes in the ground that are still about 100 years old. There are some cast iron. Some of them are you know, interestingly, I'll tell one specific item from what I know. The pipe that sits out in front of our building is over 100 years old in Hartford. It's on in the MDC, the Metropolitan District Commission that serves the greater Hartford area, about 400 or so thousand people in the greater Hartford area. They have quite a very robust asset management plan for replacement. And so one of the things that they've told us is that that pipe will be replaced at some point, but it doesn't need to be replaced today because it's still doing well, even though it's 100 years old. So some of these pipes that were developed, produced, and installed were so well done that they're still doing their job even today. And so some utilities will go in and reline the pipe. We'll keep the pipe, the core pipe itself is still there, but they reline it with a like a cement liner. Or you'll go in and clean the inside of the pipe with what they call like a pigging process. They go in and just scrape the inside of the pipe out and pull all that out and then possibly reline it after that. And so, you know, we have some pipe that is very old in the ground, but it is still very good and serves the public very well. But certainly our larger systems. So there's a, I mentioned the 36 surface water plants. So there are about 40 systems that utilize those 36 plants in Connecticut. Of those 40 systems, they serve well over 10,000 people. So for those larger community public water systems, like the ones I mentioned, and a lot of them are larger municipal systems like Danbury, New Britain, Waterbury, Meriden, Wallingford, you know, on and on, you know, even up into Putnam. Putnam serves about 8,000 people, but their systems have aged, and each one of those systems put together a water, what is known in Connecticut as a water supply plan. It's a Connecticut law that was developed in the 1980s, in the mid-1980s, because of the 1981 drought. The legislators came together and pulled together a water resources task force and said, wait a minute, we can't be running out of water. Because 1981, there was a drought that really hit us pretty hard in the southwest tail of Connecticut, and Greenwich was almost out of water. They developed all these planning requirements. So there are, for the last 30 years or so, there have been planning requirements for our larger utilities to put together plans to look at asset management planning and to develop capital improvement programs. And these plans are updated every 6 or 9 years by these water utilities. They come into the state. There's four agencies that get those plans and are responsible to review. Our agency is responsible to review and approve those plans. So the planning in Connecticut is unique across the country. I have not seen anything like this planning requirement that has been around this long, that has been this comprehensive. And asking the utilities, not asking, but mandating utilities to produce these plans and put together an asset management plan that is solid, that makes sure that you're looking at how, you know, the age of the pipes, but also the condition of the pipes. and the type of pipe is important. Now, let's step over to one of the incidents that took place, between Groton and Windham. One of them had the pipe that broke was from the 1960s. And you might say, well, that's not that old. But and it really isn't when you come to pipe age, because most of our pipes are older than that. But that pipe material was made of something that was much more brittle. And at that time, we see that the pipes that were manufactured in the 50s into the 60s were pipes that are more apt to break. And for whatever reason, the manufacturing at that time was not as good as it was even prior to World War II. So sometimes it's not the age, it's the material. And then also another dynamic here is how the pipe is installed. Was it installed correctly? You know, it's not just throw it in the ground and forget it. You know, dig a trench, throw it in the ground. You know, there's a skill to all of that, and making sure that that is done correctly and having good oversight by the people that do the install is incredibly important. And that goes to some of the expense of replacing this pipe. You know, if you can imagine how complicated it is in downtown New Haven to replace a pipe. Because in the ground, there's all kinds of, you know, every single utility you could name is in the ground. So it gets very expensive very quickly. But through this planning mechanism, these utilities, whether it's, you know, the Regional Water Authority out of New Haven or the MDC out of Hartford or Aquarian Water Company that serves Greater Bridgeport all the way down to Greenwich now and Stamford. Or it's, you know, New London Water that serves in London and Waterford, or any of them in between, Norwich, you know, and Groton Utilities, Willimantic, Windham Waterworks. They all have these water supply plans that guide them to do what they need to do. And review of aging infrastructure is a big part of those plans.
We are talking to Lori Matthew, Public Health Branch Chief with the Environmental Health and Drinking Water Branch at the Connecticut Department of Public Health. Lori, as we have this national conversation about infrastructure improvements, how are we doing in Connecticut? Do we have a list of water projects that are ready to go if all of a sudden federal funding becomes available?
Oh, we sure do. We are so excited because we do have what is known as, and every state has this program, which came about in the 1996 amendments under President Clinton. The amendments to the Safe Drinking Water Act started what is known as the DWSRF program across the country, the Drinking Water State Revolving Loan Fund Program. That program has been around since 1996 in the state of Connecticut and is also in every other state. As primacy holder, that program came to us. We developed it and we've loaned over. It's a loan program and it can be subsidized. And what we understand that President Biden is working on right now is that they would utilize the SRF programs across the country as the mechanism to help subsidize loans at a higher level. So that if, you know, right now we have a list of projects under our SRF program. It's a process we do every year. We generate a list. Knowing that there was possibly infrastructure funding coming, because there's been a discussion about this for the last 2 years, essentially. And knowing that, we've really been pushing our utilities to give us really great projects. And so we do have a list. We have a list of projects. We actually have a public hearing coming up in August 18th for our process. And it's an open public hearing that anyone can come and talk about. You can see all of the projects, the project priority list. I believe we have a list of over $300 million in projects. And we're very excited. It's the largest amount of projects that we ever have had. And we would love to be able to take our base program and be able to subsidize with whatever the federal government comes along with. And we'll be able to more highly subsidize loans to a public water system. And that, you know, it's not only the municipal-based public water systems that can benefit. It's also the rate-regulated public water systems are also part of this program and can take advantage of it, like the Aquarians and Connecticut Water Companies. Our customers right now through our program, our SRF program for drinking water has loaned over to $350 million over the last many years. We have funded recently, Groton Utilities is a good example. It's our largest loan ever for $54 million, subsidized by $15 million in state funding to help the Groton Utilities afford that treatment plant. Because costs, just when they first started planning that treatment plant, it was in the $30 million range. And then once they got through the process of what they needed to do to treat the water, it became a $54 million plant. They couldn't, which they really couldn't afford, didn't have the funding for. And we were able to subsidize that loan to help them and the community afford that treatment plant. The exciting thing is that plant has been built. That plant is state of the art. And they were able, the people at Groton Utilities were able to keep their treatment plant up and running while the plant was being rebuilt around it, which was really kind of a cool project to watch. And I believe right now, as we speak, that water is being served through that plant. So that was an exciting project, the biggest project we ever had. But we have other projects that are multi-million dollar projects, you know, pipe replacement projects. Many, you know, MDC takes advantage of the funding. Many of these pipe replacement projects are in the city of Hartford directly, Bloomfield, Windsor. And, you know, we have other projects from utilities that have been good, as well as interconnections. Norwich has interconnected with the emergency interconnect with the town of Sprague. That was helped out by a subsidization from the state as well. We've been very successful the last 10, 12 years in getting money out the door. It really got started when we had the stimulus funds from President Obama. That really kickstarted our program, and we've been very successful ever since. We're looking forward to this time where the infrastructure funding can come again, we hope, to the SRF programs and help provide subsidization to help these programs that actually the projects that we have on our list today. So we do, it's a really good question, because we do have a project list. We call it the project priority list under the SRF program. And that list is along with our intended use plan for that, which is a requirement under the federal government, under EPA, to produce the plan along with a list, hold a public hearing in a public comment period, which is starting soon. But the hearing is on the 18th of August, and it's a chance for the utilities or anyone to come out and provide comment on these projects. So back, and I'll give you an example of a subsidization of a loan and why it's so critical to help. And what happened in 2009 and 2010, the subsidy of a loan was set at 56%. Right now, we're offering between 5 and maybe 20%. You know, for some of the areas that are disadvantaged is a higher percentage. We work with the, you know, people that are in disadvantaged communities get a higher subsidy. But we're only able to offer 25%. But if we're able to, we hope that this infrastructure funding can come in and help subsidize these loans so that utilities can make these projects more affordable. Because there is a also part of the SRF programs across the country. It's known as the need survey. So EPA, in order to understand the need across the country, requires each drinking water program to produce to work on a need survey. In Connecticut, the last need survey, and this is done every 4 years, last need survey said that there was $4 billion of need over the next 20 years in our state. And we believe that to be underestimate. We believe it's more like $5 billion. And right now, staff within our drinking water section, within our environmental health and drinking water section, as a matter of fact, are working on the next need survey. And we pull together the needs across the state, and that plan is pulled together, that report is pulled together. And the last need survey is actually publicly available if you'd like to see that, Aaron. It does talk about the needs in Connecticut. And we think it's more like $5 billion, as a matter of fact, because times have changed. The expense of putting pipe in the ground and pipe replacement it's just becoming more and more expensive just over the last couple of years. You know, a foot of pipe in the ground, it depends on where you are, but a foot of pipe in the ground may cost you $300 to $350, just 1 foot. And then if you're in downtown New Haven or Hartford or Bridgeport, and you've got to maneuver between all the other utilities that are in the ground, it may be more expensive.
She is Lori Matthew, Public Health Branch Chief with the Environmental Health and Drinking Water Branch at the Connecticut Department of Public Health. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Aaron. And I greatly appreciate you having the Department of Public Health on and your interest in drinking water and public drinking water supply.
Thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the balance of your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.